Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. St. Louis, all our locations, 16 services this weekend. You can be seated and look at your neighbor and tell him, so you got blessed, you got it set by me today. Come on. How many of y'all would let somebody take you to lunch if they would pay? Raise your hand. Do you have any volunteers? How many Cracker Barrel people we got? Would you do okay with that or wherever? How many would even go to Dunkin' Donuts with somebody? Let's just thank God for donuts right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Or whoever had the idea to make donuts. Good. You know all the cops at our locations are getting excited right now. I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. I mean, we got some exciting things happening. We got a thing called the Lead Conference. I want to kind of explain to you what that is. That's where our dream team, the people got here at all our locations today and set up way before you even woke up. And they're always serving. And they've seen a growth in their businesses. Advancing in their thinking. And so about 2 years ago, we decided to do a conference just for them. So we feed them and give them cool shirts and then pour into them. And then we had an idea last year to invite those of you that just kind of want to kick the tires and go, I'm interested in serving, but I'm going to check it out. Worst case scenario, you get fed, you get a free shirt. Come on, what's not to like about this? And so if you want to be a part of that, of course, you have to register because we have to pay all the vendors to bring in the food, take care of you. And so we certainly do not want to buy more food than what we need. Can I get an amen? Amen. So register for that. It'll help you in all your business endeavors and the way you think. And then last but not least, especially at the Sunset Hills location this morning and Earth City, you really, really pay attention to this because September the 8th, which, by the way, is the day before my birthday. Very important day. Come on, help me with this right now. If you don't let people know this, they will forget. And you did last year, right? No, so September 8th at Earth City at 2:15, we're having basically an interest meeting where you're not committing to go there for 6 weeks, but you want to hear Casper and me and Nicole and different people kind of pitch what we do. In fact, when we started Earth City Campus, where you're at today, think about all the thousands of people that go to that church now. And when we started there, we had a little church in Fenton, and we said, if you live on this side of Highway 40, go to that church for 6 weeks. And 600 people moved that day, and now that church is the biggest African-American church in St. Louis, making a big difference. Come on, somebody, say amen. And so September 8th, we're going to an interest meeting, because when we do the new campus, we'll tell you more about that later, that's coming up. We need people to go in there, because if I said I didn't mean it and they didn't know, yes, I did, how many of you know it would look really stupid in that room? So you are a trainer. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a certified trainer. Look back and say, I knew you were certified, but I didn't know it was in training. Okay. This weekend, as you saw, we're going to be talking about heavy lifting. Lifting things that are heavy on your heart. Overwhelming. In fact, I got a picture here of this donkey that really represents a lot of our lives. Yeah, he just, how many of y'all know it's just too heavy? And you get that sometimes. On the way here, by the way, St. Louis, you don't know anything about it, but it's raining so hard that literally it was raining cats and dogs. You can see cats and dogs coming down. What if Florida's in Florida? It's really bad. There was a little slight accident. It didn't look like anybody was really hurt on the highway, but I looked out and a guy was standing outside with his little baby, and they were standing there in the rain, which is a bad idea, but then standing outside the car, I wanted to stop and slap him and say, get back in the car. What are you thinking? Stay in the car. And then I was thinking about that in regards to leadership. There are times in your life when bad things happen and it kind of shocks you, and the worst thing you can do is get out of the car while other people are driving past on Facebook, maybe drunk, hitting you. How many of you would rather be, I don't want to be hit at all, but I'd rather be hit in the car than hit with a car standing on the road. Raise your hand if you got options. So we make decisions based on temporary obstacles, and they're unwise decisions. And I want to make sure that I impress upon you today that I know what it's like to have trouble. I know what it's like to have weight. I know what it's like to have pressure. I have this whip in my hand, which really represents the fact that I was being whipped. This whip is from 19 years ago. 19 years ago, I was a year into my father passing. We had a church of about 180 people when he died. that was growing to about 1,000 at that point. With the 2 years, got to 2,000. So the wheels are off when it comes to staff and database, and there's a lot of things. I'm learning how to preach all these services, and there's a lot going on. While this is going on, my mother, as soon as my dad died, within a just very, very short time, within a matter of a couple months, she marries another guy. She's been married many times since then. But she marries this guy, and his deal was, is he was a so-called preacher who went around and would kind of overtake churches and then run them down to nothing and sell them, okay? And so her and him got together, and they decided that they were going to tell all kinds of lies about me, try to hurt me, and they would sit in the parking lot. Well, the church has the 180 people that knew her. Now we're on television, and all these new people are coming, and I would look out the window, and my mom, my own biological mother, was outside telling people not to go in there, that I fired her. I did not fire her. The board fired her, and I couldn't do anything about it. She was mad and angry, and she was putting so much pressure on me at the time. Sometimes before church, slapping me in the face to the point that I was throwing up, and other people are saying, smart people are saying, go up and tell the truth. Tell them what your mom's doing. Tell them what this new guy's doing. And I just wouldn't do it because I was erring on the side of honor your father and your mother in the Lord, for this is right. And so for 20 years now, I've sent my mom a check for $1,000. It's $52,000 a year, and paid all her medical expenses. Now, I haven't talked to her. She won't talk to me. I'm just telling you that all this was happening, and while I'm overcome, because I don't see all the churches that you're sitting in right now, I don't see what God's going to do. I just knew that the devil was fighting me really hard. The devil could see what God was doing. I'm prophesying to somebody right now that you wonder why it is happening to you. You're wondering why the weight is on you. Who am I talking to today? And God can see where you're going, and the devil can see where you're going. Don't lose focus when you get in a wreck. Stand on the side of the highway out in the rain. That's dumb. Stick with the car. Stick with God, and you will reap if you faint not. Somebody ought to give God praise today in his house. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody right now. Now here, I believe in signs. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. It's the Bible. And now I'm overwhelmed with pressure, and I pray. And I'm praying, and I'm in this little church that my dad built. You know, it probably seats 700-800 people, and then this one over here is like the kids' space now, but it's the original one, and I'll never forget it. I'm walking through there praying, and I walk out, and I feel the gift of just prophecy on me. And I don't remember what it is because 19 years ago, but it was something to the effect of no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And I'm working behind the scenes right now. And at the same time, have you ever seen like an asphalt with like the goop in the cracks? Anybody talk about that real goop? In the goop of the crack was this. It was laid in there, and it said, I'm telling you right now, and I looked down as if it was on cue and picked this up out of the goop, and the Lord said, it is frayed on one end, and it's tied on the other. And I grabbed it, and I went to my knees, and I just started crying. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, because I knew that someday, I don't know when, God had caused this whip to be in that asphalt for the day that I needed to hear. It's frayed on one end, and it's tied up the other, and no weapon formed against you, David, is going to prosper. And I'm telling you, God did it for me. Somebody ought to shout amen. He's going to do it for you. God has a divine plan, and I prophesy to you, it's tied on one end and it's frayed on the other. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Come on, give God praise today. It's not going to work. Shout, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Let's put it up so you can actually see it. I can do all things through who? Christ. Not your higher power on the inside of you. Everybody's generic about God. Let's have a moment of silence. I don't even like to necessarily, there's nothing wrong with using the name God, but a lot of people get confused with God. Muhammad's a God and Buddha's a God. There's only one God that I like to talk about, and his name is J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, our heavenly Father who is God. I can. Everybody shout, I can.
I can.
2 Corinthians. Let's look at that. St. Louis chapter 12, verse 9. It said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. How many of y'all got some weakness?
Yes.
Being honest is one of them. Let's try that again. How many of y'all got some weakness? Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sakes, I delight in my weakness, in insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties, For when I am weak, he is strong. He delights, Paul is saying, I delight in hardship. I delight in insults. It's the opposite of what you want to do. I delight in when people are talking bad about me. See, I didn't know what was happening is when all this stuff was happening to me, God was hardening me to difficulty because I was going to have bigger problems than I had then. I don't want to go back, but if I could go back, I'd kind of, in the flesh, like to go back because my problems were huge to me at the time, but they were minuscule to what I have today. When this is going on, the church had to have $8,000 a week to pay the bills. Now it has to have $300,000 a week to pay the bills. Football fields, a parking lot. When you went into Sunset Hills today, you had 1,100 parking spots, 2,400 seats. It's crazy. 37 acres to maintain. Air conditioning units, $150,000 a piece. When you went into Earth City today, and I could see you in my mind's eye all the way in the back today, back by the bathrooms. It came in the hallways. 177,000 cars driving by today. You don't know what it costs to be that. Yeah, I didn't know. But if I hadn't had this, I wouldn't be able to fight the cities, the bureaucracies, the debt. The devil. So may I suggest to you today that the things that you're going through, even about right now, it's getting you trained and ready for where God is about to take you. And the next generation, somebody see what I'm saying today? I'm talking about it's heavy and it's hard, but you're equipped for this. You got power for this. You can do this. I was reading a story this week about a guy named Joshua Holdman who grew up in the prairies of Saskatchewan, and his job was he would break wild broncos, and he organized Canada's first rodeo, and a domino effect happened to where the Great Depression happened, and he lost his 5,000-acre farm that he had started from scratch. And in 1950, he decided that he was going to disassemble his plane with his wife and his kids, ship it to South America, and reassemble it. How many of y'all know that's worse than putting together something at IKEA, an airplane? And he goes on the first 30,000-mile round-trip flight around Africa to Australia, 30,000 miles. To put that in perspective, in 1927, Charles Lindbergh went 3,600 miles. This guy goes 30,000. You've never heard of Joshua Winfield, but you might have heard of his grandson, Elon Musk. While Elon was hearing stories about his grandfather and his love for aviation, all of a sudden now there's a seedbed hitting his heart, and Elon's thinking about, I think I want to start SpaceX. I think I want to have Tesla. I think I want to make cars that drive, which I think is a great idea because most people can't drive as good as the cars that Elon makes. My point is that when you're around something genetically, when you're around something organically, you will be what you're around. That's why I want people to go and get in groups. Because if you can get around the right people and hear them have conversations about things that you're not thinking about, it'll change. You hear me say this all the time. If you can change the way you think, you change the way you live. So you stretch your mind and somebody says, hey, I'm weak here and I'm weak there. Let's not focus on your weakness. Let's focus on the four or five things you're good at. Because you can work and work and work and work and work, John Maxwell talks about that, and try to become an 8 or a 9 at something, and you're a 4, it'll take your whole life, and you may never come but a 6. But if you can find out the few things that you're good at, and you work on that, and you hone that craft, and you exercise that craft, you will be the best at what you do. So again, Elon Musk today is a product not only of his genius, but the genius in his family. May I tell you that the things that you're doing for your kids today, bringing them to church, getting them around the right people. The school system of America does not know how to raise your kids. I'm going to say it again. I'm not talking bad about teachers. That it has nothing to do with them. I'm talking about the school system many times is indoctrinating your kids. Somebody at our church this week, on our staff, they sent their little kid to school this week. He's a little bitty guy. And she came back to pick him up, and they had him, James, dressed like a girl. Of course, the mother went crazy, as she should. My point is, I didn't plan on sharing that. It's probably too much information. But I will tell you, when you looked at me like, well, I think the school knows what they're doing. I'll tell you, if you think the school, you're a fool. Somebody ought to shout amen. You need to go to church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, now you know that part. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary, people that are under a heavy load. He increases the power to the weak, even youths that are tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But I love this part. Let's read it together. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Let's read that part again. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Notice you don't see a political candidate in there. It says those that hope in the Lord. So some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we, Faith Church, will remember the name of the Lord our God. And how y'all got some moments that are similar to this? It's not the same, but you've got a God moment in your life. When you're down and you're troubled and you feel like there's a lot of weight on you, I've lost a lot of things. I mean, people have given me some incredible sunglasses, and I don't know if my kids steal them or I lose them. Anybody like me, you can keep a $2 pair of sunglasses your whole life, but if they're expensive, they're gone. Raise your hand. Let's try that again. Come on. I don't know. It's kind of like socks. I don't even know how I lose all my socks. Anybody wash your socks and you come back and go, this is like a singles ministry here. And there's not a couple to be found. That's why I don't even wear socks. I just gave up. So when we're going through a trial or going through trouble, have some things. 19 years later, I still know exactly where this is at all times. Because when I look at it, it brings me hope. When I look at it, it brings me strength. When I look at it, it reminds me, if it had not been for God at that moment, you wouldn't be sitting in that building today. God would have had to do it with somebody else. But I'm so glad he chose me. I'm so glad he chose you. Somebody ought to give God praise for what he's done in your life. I feel like we're having church today. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. You just need to go into God sometimes. Not like he's surprised by the pressure you're under. Like, God, I hate to bring it to you, but things are bad down here. You just need to come to God and say, God, right now, I feel like I'm overwhelmed. I feel like. Then you go, okay, wait a minute. My renewed mind says I'm not moved by what I feel. So I'm hearing a lot of me, I, feel like. So since I go to church, I'm going to say, I'm coming to the Lord with these heavy burdens, and I'm casting all my burdens on the Lord, for he cares for me. And I'm not going to be anxious any longer. I'm going to reflect that. Remember this in Luke 12, he said, the birds of the air, they go around and they don't know who feeds them. It says the lilies of the field, they neither toil nor spin, nor, and God takes care of them. It said, what man could add one inch to his height by worrying? He said that this anxiousness, this foreboding, this anxiety about what's going to happen and how you mess up your life, this is going to keep God's blessing back in your life. We read at the beginning of this sermon that God takes glory in your weakness. I give people encouragement all the time because they look at me and go, if God can use that homeschooled, by the way, I want to clear it up because homeschoolers get mad at me. There's a lot of them now. I shouldn't ding homeschool. It's a great place to be. Prom's a little weird. Come on, somebody, but homeschool. But they look at me and go, man, if God could use him, God could use me. So you come to God with the problem. You come to church and get the solution. You get in the group. Today, you need to go through Growth Track. This is where we learn to connect with God better. I mean, y'all could connect with God a little better. I want God to see that you're interested. Raise your hand again. How many of y'all can connect with God a little better? He told me you haven't talked to him all week. Okay? Connect with God, then you connect with people. Okay? Then you discover your purpose at church. Because if church for you is just about, I want to get fed, I want to get help, and it has that. But at some point, you got to grow up. See, church for me and church for you is way different. I didn't come to church today and say, bless me, help me, feed me. I had to feed myself this week and memorize and study so I could bring you an on-time word from the Holy Spirit. And so if it's just about me blessing you or the worship team blessing you, then you're infantile in your thinking. But as you grow in grace, you realize a church alive is worth the drive. I'm going to go into the house of God. I'm going to lift up my hands. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to praise Lord. And when you do that, you'll overcome your habits, your hurts, and your hangups. Last weekend in Earth City, I was walking in the hallway, and a guy just grabbed me. He was so excited. And this place is just jam-packed, people grabbing everywhere, and he grabbed me and said, "Hey, you remember how you told me if you'd come here for a year that you wouldn't recognize yourself?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I've been here 2 years and nobody recognizes me." I promise you that happened. He was so excited. He wanted to let me know. I believed you, and look what God's done for me. And I tell you what he did for him, he'll do for you. You won't recognize yourself. This church will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It'll turn you into another man. What used to take you down is going to put you up. I'm here to tell you, God is done with the devil punking you. You got to get up, get on, and get with it. For the record, in Florida, we even got white people standing up down here. I saw Pete in his short pants up going, "Ah!" That's a good day when that starts happening. You get white people out of their seat this early in the morning. Come on, somebody. You know God's doing something on the inside. You know that the Holy Ghost is moving, huh? It's so good. My little grandson last night, they told me, I went to the nursery to get him. He's 3. He's learning how to go potty on the big boy potty. He wears big boy pants now, big boy panties, underwear. Want to clear that up after the James incident a while ago. His little nursery teacher, she's here. She said, he came up and said, "My baby's kicking. I got to do a big job." He realized he's learning now what's going on with his little system. Before, he just messed up. But as you learn the word and you learn the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you go, "Oh, something on the inside is telling me I'm about to give birth to my car. I'm about to give birth to my financing. I'm about to give birth to my ministry. I'm about to give birth to my dream." Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody ought to understand. Something's kicking on it. It's moving. Ecclesiastes, let's go there real quick, 18 verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as the judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning until evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people?" Okay, this is why groups are so important. You need somebody in your life to go, "What are you doing? That's just stupid. Why do you sit alone? Sit and judge all the people as they stand around from morning till evening." And Moses answered, not because it's a good idea, not because it's smart. He said, "Because the people want me to do that." What? This is stupid leadership. By the way, if you got a business, great leadership teaching here. You can teach this tomorrow at staff meeting. Moses answered him, "Because the people want me to do it. They come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, they bring it to me, and then I decide between the two parties to inform them God's decrees." Then Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good." I want to pause there, and I want you to read it with me. What's it say every campus? What you're doing is not good. One more time, it feels right.
What you're doing is not good.
When the groups are getting ready to start in a couple weeks, and you need to get in a group because somebody needs to look at you and go, "Don't do that. What you do is not good." I told my old lady, not a good idea. Tell what I'd do if that was my kid. Okay, you have to work out your own salvation, but you got to be around people that are successful, okay? What you're doing is not good. And so in a group, people will tell you the truth as they learn your life, and you can sharpen one another.
Yeah, that's good.
You and these people who come to you, you're going to wear yourself out. Now, here we talk about heavy lifting. The work is what? Too heavy for you. Let's all read that together. The work is too heavy for you. Work's too heavy for you.
Yeah.
You can't do this on your own. I mean, how'd it go last week when you were up worried about it? How's your marriage doing? How's your health doing? Because one decision, wrong decision, triggers the next decisions. You get overwhelmed with me. Here's how it goes, okay? I think I even have maybe a slide to show the cycles of stress. But I could have my own up there. It starts out with thoughts. I can't cope with it. My life's a mess. Everything's going wrong. Then you start feeling anxious, depressed, worried, and frustrated. Then right in here is where I start eating. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? This will make me feel better. I want to go here. Just pause. Anybody about right here, anxious, depressed, worried, frustrated, you find yourself with ice cream, Girl Scout cookies. You liars. Come on. The Pastor Nicole is standing up. Maybe for you it's alcohol, pornography, weed. I don't want to list it all, but I can smell it all over the place. Then we go through the behaviors. Not being able to relax. I can't sleep. I'm avoiding other people. I'm rushing everybody. Then physically, my heart's racing. I have all kinds of stress. I need to go to the doctor. Why? Because the work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now, the old man says, and I will give you some advice. And then he goes on to say, you must pick out representatives. Here's leadership, Chris Well. I can think of business leaders right now that'll teach this to their team tomorrow. Teach them his decrees and instructions. And then you have to show people how to live it out and how they are to behave. By the way, you teach people how to treat you.
That's right.
But select capable people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint to them officials over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, over tens. Notice that certain people are good to manage certain levels in the organization. Have them serve as judges for the people and at all times, but have them bring every difficult case. In other words, when it gets too difficult, bring it to you. But listen here, this will make your load lighter. This will make your, let's read that together. This will make your load lighter. One more time, class. What's it say? This will make your load lighter. And they will share with you. And if you do this, what you're doing is you're making your life sustainable. Now here today, when I think about Pastor Ree and Pastor Nee and Pastor Phil and Pastor Micah and Pastor Morgan and Pastor Austin and all the different pastors, and I think about Tim. Tim today, between last night and today, I edited my sermon. I pulled some stuff out. I put some stuff in. If it were not for Tim, my life would be super horrible. If it were not for the graphics team, my life would be kind of messed up. Even a minute ago while I was preaching to you, I noticed that our text was there in a series on how to build a better life. I looked at that while I was preaching and thinking to myself and looked at Austin kind of cross-eyed where he would kind of understand, I don't like that. That looks jacked up. Somebody messed up, which that does happen. But while I'm preaching to you, believe it or not, I'm editing stuff in my head. As crazy as I sound, can you imagine if I didn't edit it? So my life got easier when I was all the way back here. I started building a team. And when the team works, the dream works. And then now at every campus, I think about Julie Thompson, and I think about, I shouldn't even mention names, and all the campuses, Greg Crane, and think about all the different people that are there, Ashley Click, all these different people, Ashley Pfluger, Katrina, all these folks that are there today at these other campuses, I'm not at those churches. At the Ferguson-Florissant campus, one of our fastest growing churches. I haven't been there in a year. I haven't been to Weldon, and they painted the whole place. It looks amazing. I've been there forever because I can't be everywhere. But because we got a team, because we're all doing it together, people's lives are changed today. Come on, give it up for all the dream team who make this thing happen. Raise your hand if this does make sense to you. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, we're starting to wrap this up. You feel the load is too heavy. You got to cast some pressure on the Lord and then realize that you can only do what you can do. Today, I'm doing the best I can. I wanted to try to do good today. I showered today. I did my hair today. I got this thing right. put on cologne, put on deodorant in case I hug somebody. Church is online. I don't have to do this. But I want you to stop caring so much about what other people think.
That's right.
I wonder what they're thinking about me. Mm-hmm. They might not be thinking about you. Not everybody thinks about you all the time.
That's right.
Anybody ever walked in a room, probably only girls and some vain guys, you ever walked in the room and thought, oh my gosh, everybody's probably looking at me right now? Raise your hand. I hope my butt looks right. I hope I don't have toilet paper to my shoe. Hope my zipper's up. Come on, raise your hand. You don't raise your hand. You just don't care. And that's great. But there's some people like us that I really care what I look like. But have you ever fallen? You tripped and you fell. And you were hurt, but it didn't matter. You got up immediately, and your first thing was to see who saw you fall. You got blood everywhere. Oh, thank God nobody saw that. I really need to go to med first, but whoo! Because we care so much. We need to care less. We don't need to be careless, but we need to care less. We need to cast our cares upon the Lord and realize at the time, this was the worst thing, and it was bad. I can still remember it was bad. But it was training me to be able to shake myself to realize that I must represent some kind of significant thing that Jesus wants to do. And if I get debilitated and I get out of the race and I check out, then I've got a problem. So this is experience. I've got a slide I want to put up. You're probably going to want to get your phone at every campus, take a picture of this. John Maxwell said this to me recently. Experience isn't the best teacher. Evaluated experience is. We heard our whole life, experience is the best teacher. No, evaluate it. What did you learn from this? How can you do it better next time? Our sermons, all of them, I told you we re-edited, redacted, and re-edited last night to today. I've already done changes here today. Even kind of made an announcement to the whole team about the graphic situation in case I forget tomorrow, okay? So I'm always editing. Evaluated experience makes things better. By the way, you are not what you did. You're what you do.
That's right.
For the most part, this is what you do. Yeah, you did that, but that's not who you are. You know who you are? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, made on purpose and with a purpose. Somebody ought to shout amen. Heavy load. I want to show you a picture right now of my bowl cut and my father to show you the heavy head of hair that my dad had. Yeah, that's me at 4 years old. My dad's a preacher, and I'm right beside him right there. All that hair, tons of hair. He went to, when I was that age, he went to the barber, and he didn't want to go to the doctor, and he asked the doctor, why do I have all these bald spots? You could take it down now, people have seen enough. And he said, what are all these bald spots? And the guy said, hey, I've seen this before. This is stress, this is pressure. Remember, we're living in a travel trailer. There is no paycheck. There is no health insurance. And my dad is feeling the weight of the world. I can't even imagine the weight that he was feeling. But what I can tell you is that he just kept keeping on and things got better. If you'll keep doing what's right because it's right, you will get what's right if you just stick with it. Be like a postage stamp. Remember a stamp? Take a licking with your bad breath and kept on sticking till it got there. Be like a Timex watch. Take a licking and keep on ticking. You got to make a decision that you don't have to try to fix all the problems today.
Wow.
All you have to do is try your best to stay sane today, not overwhelmed today. At the LA Dream Center, you know, the big hospital in LA, my friend Matthew Barnett bought it and made it the LA Dream Center. And now tens of thousands of girls have been rescued from sex trafficking and drug addictions, and we support them. When you give to this church, you don't give to it, you give through it. So all the time we're supporting. Been there many times with him. And here's what he said. I said, what do you do to help them overcome? And he said, I just tell them this. If you can give me just today, one day. We don't have to talk about you being free tomorrow or next month. Can we just do today? What a revolution that would do in your mind if you'd reset your body and say, can I just eat right today? Can I just not worry today? Can I just not bust a cap on somebody today? That's a word. Just today. Come on, stop. You can always do it tomorrow. Tomorrow. You can bust a cap on them jokers tomorrow. Tomorrow's just a day away. Okay? You can do it. Yesterday, I was talking to a guy at an airport. I saw him and I felt led to go talk to this old guy. I actually kind of started recording with my phone because I watched his physical countenance change, and you'll see this old man at the airport start smiling. He was just telling me a couple minutes before how depressed he was because he lost his wife. They'd been married 48 years in a month, and she died. And now for months, he's been at home, but the hospice director checked on him and told him, you flew for 45 years, you should go back out to the airport. And I just saw him out there kicking rocks, walking around like we do in flight schools and so on. And I went up and started talking to him. And the more I talked to him, I watched him go from like this, my life is over, to start I asked him about how he's flown, how many landings he's done, how many hours he has, okay? Like 50,000, okay? So, and then he started talking about how good he was. And he had to be close to 80, but all of a sudden he was feeling like, I think I'm Tom Cruise again from Top Gun. Come on. And he started feeling good again. I said, you know what? Your hospice director's right. You need to start flying again. I'm thinking, probably not, but okay. But I'm trying to get him going and let him dream again. And he started feeling life and vitality again. I'm here to tell you, go out this week and find somebody that's down and bring them up. And you will physically feel better. Come on, somebody. And you'll fight the resistance because God has called you for more. You're equipped for this. You're called for this. You're destined for this. You need to get up one more time and you got knocked down. And say, I can lift this load, I can lift my head high, and I can move on. I have a dream to do what God has called me to do. And there you have it. That's how to build a better life. Give God praise in His house today. Come on, don't clap your hands. All you people, shout it to God with a voice of triumph.